Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and the Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. Beautiful chrome, C41 color neg, black and white, Instax, pack film, you name it, these guys have it cooking. Check them out, www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place that everybody wants to send their film to be done, developed, proofs, scans, C41, color neg, whatever it is, richardphotolab.com. DR5, the place to take your black and white photography to the next level. Black and white chrome, you will not believe. The densities, the latitude, the dynamic range, it's unbelievable. Check them out, dr5.com. Our friends at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com, the camera strap that will not let your valued, cherished analog camera slide off your shoulder. Check them out, great stuff. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at www.apug.org. The place on the web for all things analog photography, the number one source. You will not believe what's there. Definitely check them out. We got a great show lined up for right today. We're going to have with us Tana Lippert. She's a lifestyle and professional photographer from Los Gatos, California. We're going to talk today about how Tanya got involved in photography and why she's so passionate about film and all the great stuff she's doing and how she's trying to keep film alive. Great stuff. Tana, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. We just wanted to talk with you today to chat about your photography, your interest, and your passion with film, and just see what you're up to.
Awesome. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for joining us. This is cool. So, Tanya, tell me, when did you get involved in photography? When did you get the bug?
I actually got the photography bug probably about 9 years ago. And what happened was I started out as a model. Actually, I got to travel around the world working as a professional model for about 10 years in my teens and early 20s. And at that point in time, I had no clue I was ever going to end up in photography. I just was taking it a step at a time. From there, I started really diving into doing hair and makeup and wardrobing for photographers on fashion shoots and have lots of roommates and things like that that needed hair and makeup done for their photo shoots. So I kind of got sucked into the industry that way, and I always kind of thought I was going to end up a hair and makeup artist. But what ended up happening to me was I would start doing the hair and the makeup and wardrobing for these fashion shoots. At the end of the day, the film would come back, and I was always so just disappointed in the way the film looked. So I was like, dang it, that just did not look like I had in my head when I was putting this whole thing together. And I had found, like, on photo shoots, I kind of desired to do a lot of the directing. I would see pictures in my head and I would be like, oh, well, what happens if the model does this? Or what happens if the model does that? And every time the film would come back and I was like, oh man, they just didn't nail that. They didn't capture that the way I saw it in my head. And I thought, bingo, a little light went off. And I thought, maybe I need to pick up a camera and see if I can do this myself. So that's kind of how I got into photography. I ended up borrowing a Minolta 35mm camera from my brother-in-law, one that he wasn't using anymore. And I just started taking pictures with it.
So this is not something that you really had the actual photographer side of the gig when you were like younger or in high school or anything of that sort.
Nope. I actually took a photo class in high school. And when I first started photography, I had wished I had paid a lot more attention. I just wanted to take it because of all the cute boys. Being in the dark room was fun. But no, I actually never thought of being a photographer until it sort of just happened to me and sort of progressed. And then pretty much overnight, it sort of snowballed into my own little business. And I've just been rolling with it ever since. It's been about 8 years now that I've been doing it for a living. So,
wow. That's pretty interesting because I talk to a lot of people and it's like, I always wanted to do this and I always did this when I was a little kid. And it's cool to see that you picked this up after you were an adult and move forward with it.
Isn't that crazy?
I think it's great.
I just found and really discovered that I had a real talent for it that I didn't know I had until I just decided to give it a try. So
when you started it, was it a deal like, okay, well, I want to shoot portraits, I want to do weddings, or was like, I think I can shoot better anything, and you just started rolling with it?
I'm a very optimistic person, and I feel like I can shoot whatever I want to shoot. And so I started in fashion. I actually started because I had so many fashion connections. My husband at the time was an agent in a modeling agency. We lived in Los Angeles, and we had models that actually rented rooms from us out of our apartments that would come into town. They needed a place to stay. They'd rent a room from us. So we had access to a lot of models, and because of my experience in that industry, I sort of started shooting fashion stuff. After I had experimented a couple of times with some of the models, I would take the pictures in to the agency, and they said, "Know what? I think the girls can pay you to do this." And I said, "Cool, that would be awesome. I can make money? Okay." And then I started my photography business, and what would end up happening was I would do these incredible pictures for the models, and then the parents would see them or the friends would see them, and they would say, "Oh, I want Tanya to take my picture." And so I started doing portraits, but I mean, I really kind of hate the word portrait because I feel like my style is so non-portraity. But I started doing portraits with a fashion edge to them. So all the kids, you know, models are actually usually teenagers. So I'd take pictures, and then all their friends would want pictures. So I'd take pictures of their friends in more of a fashion way. They'd be what you'd call portraits. And then it sort of just snowballed from there. And then I decided, I really do love weddings, and I really want to shoot weddings. And my husband's such a skeptic. He's like, "You're not going to get any respect as a fashion photographer if you're shooting weddings." This is quite a few years ago. "Not going to get a lot of respect as a wedding photographer if you're a fashion photographer." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to prove you wrong, because I think I can do whatever the heck I want." So it's a little bit of a quest of mine just to prove my husband wrong, and luckily I've gotten to do that.
So did you actually pursue anything in the fashion industry itself? What gravitated you towards wedding things?
I do a ton of weddings, and that's the biggest part of my business, but I actually still and have always done quite a bit of fashion work and some commercial stuff as well. So I think generally my concentration has been on weddings just because I think that weddings are a lot more profitable for me right now. But I still do shoot fashion, and I'm actually, like, this year I've been headed more in marketing myself and setting myself up. I'm redesigning my website and kind of heading in more of a commercial and editorial type of direction. So I'll still always do weddings, but I want to expand that part of my business even more.
So let's talk about your involvement in wedding photography. What drew you into that? I mean, with being within the fashion world and being a model and having your husband as an agent and you guys dealing with this whole fashion gig and this stuff, what or who drew you into doing weddings?
Shortly after I started my business, my family, we moved up to Southern Oregon, which is definitely not like the fashion mecca of the world, right? I pretty much just really wanted to have a viable business in that market where I was living at the time. And so I didn't want to travel to do my fashion work because I had two little ones at home and I didn't want to be away from them for long periods of time. So I just really looked at weddings. I mean, I loved weddings. I thought weddings would be beautiful and I could make them fashionable and kind of put my fashion edge to my wedding work. But weddings could be something that I could do up in Southern Oregon in that market, and I could make a living there and not have to be traveling all over to keep up with the fashion work and where the fashion work would pull me, because I didn't want to live in LA. I didn't want to live in New York. And so I think it was more or less just the timing and my location that I was living that I sort of said, "I'm just going to give this a try and see where we go with that." And then that just really snowballed very quickly. So I think I do about 40 weddings a year now. I've moved since then, and now I'm in more of a market where I could do more fashion work, but the wedding sort of just took over everything. It just went crazy.
What did you see moving from Southern Oregon back to the San Francisco Bay Area when it comes to the type of weddings you were shooting and the clients you were dealing with?
It was a huge jump for me. When I started shooting weddings, which was about probably 7 years ago, wedding photography was so different back then. It was so traditional and posed. And definitely a lot of my clientele in Southern Oregon were a lot more narrow-minded. So I had to deal a lot with like the parents saying, "I don't understand why you cropped the head off in that picture. And I don't understand why." I had to do a lot of like explaining my art there, I felt like. Like people just didn't get it or get me so much. Usually the bride and groom did because they were younger and a little more hip. That's why they hired me. They appreciated that uniqueness that I brought to their wedding pictures. But the parents, I always had to deal with the parents. And, you know, they're the ones paying for this usually. So it was kind of a struggle for me to sort of shoot these gorgeous pictures that I was so proud of. And I knew that they were very, like, cutting edge for wedding photography. And then I would have the parents going, "Oh, I think you messed this picture up because you chopped off his head. Or I don't really understand this one. And where's the one of my daughter standing by the tree holding her flowers where you can see her whole dress?" And that just wasn't me. So I feel like when we moved to the Bay Area, we fell into a market where people are so much more of a cultural people, and they appreciate art and they get it. So for me, my business really took off when we did make that move. The beautiful thing is I don't have to explain my artwork anymore. It's just people come in and they love it. And you don't have to explain why you cropped someone's head off or why the sky is blown out when it was a sunny blue day. Things like that that drive me nuts. So that's one of the best things I think that happened to my business was moving back to the Bay Area. And also you can charge a lot more for your art here. People really value good photography, good artistry, and they're willing to pay more for it here than you'll get from Southern Oregon.
Let's talk about your involvement here in Analog Capture. You are a film shooter.
I'm 100% proud film shooter, yes.
Did this start off film because you started off with your brother-in-law's Minolta? How did this all come about to where you wanted to shoot film?
Well, I think back when I started, there really wasn't a whole lot of digital going on. I mean, it was a very small market. We didn't see like the big digital revolution until a few years that I was into it. And I remember at one time getting ready to make a larger camera purchase. It was kind of where everyone was talking about going digital or staying with film. You were starting to see everyone go digital. And I, at one point in time, really considered that and how that would affect my work and how that would affect my workflow, my business. And I went back and forth a lot with it because at that time, it wasn't really one way or the other. It was sort of like half and half and people just didn't know. So I actually bought a really nice digital, at that time, camera, played with it a little bit, and decided it just was not for me. For me, film has such a beautiful, magical quality to it, and I feel like in my own work, if I shoot film and I shoot digital side by side, there's such a huge, major difference for me. So I just stuck with it, and there was always a lot of pressure, and everyone like, what? You're still shooting film? You're a dinosaur? I belong to a network of photographers here in the Bay Area, and there's anywhere from 20 to 40 of us that get together once a month and have community discussions and things. I believe I'm the only film shooter in the whole group, and so I get so much flack all the time for it. But at the same time, everyone wants to know, how do I get my pictures to look like that? How do you get your images to look like this? And to me, that's all film. And so now I've really turned it around to where film for me is a selling point. It's a strength, and it's something that I'm very proud of, and I'm holding on to it the tightest rope I can. I don't want to let it go.
I mean, you can get the look with film shooting digital, but it's extremely difficult. It's more even a pain than shooting digital as it is. And I think that it's a unique quality to be a film shooter. Do you find that people search and hunt you out because you are shooting film?
I don't necessarily know that the clients that hire me care how I get my images. They just know that they love the way my images look. And when they find out that it's film that gives it that look, then usually it's an education for them. They have no idea. I do have clients who have requested film photography, and they were so glad to hear that I still shot it. I would say 95% of the time, my clients have no clue what I shoot, and they don't even care. They just love what they see. And I always explain to them that the reasons why you love my pictures is because they're shot on film. It's never an issue for me, like booking a client, whether I shoot digital or film. They don't care. They just love the way the images look.
So you've had no negative feedback from film acquisition?
I get made fun of by other photographers a lot. I get called names like, you're such a dinosaur. I think I got a lot of that in the past few years. But I think all of a sudden, for some reason, like the past year, I feel like I'm getting a little more respect from the photographers because I shoot film. It's almost like, oh, you shoot film, that's so cool. Now, instead of people saying to me all the time, you're a dinosaur, making fun of me, they're just like, oh, that's so cool. I'm so jealous because they are finding that they wish that they never gave it up or wish that they could go back to it. I'm hoping that we see a lot more photographers sort of moving back that direction and the pendulum swinging back the other way.
Yeah, I think the ones that are making fun of you are just basically they're scared, so they're just giving you grief because if they couldn't chimp, they probably couldn't shoot.
Exactly. I think film has made me a much better, stronger photographer. And there again, for me, like film is true photography. It's capturing a moment that's happening. It's keeping that moment forever documented. Whereas I feel like with digital technology, I mean, I believe there's a place for it. I mean, this is going to get a lot of flack, I know. But I don't necessarily know that it's photography. When you take a photograph and it gets manipulated so much, just to look artsy or cool, that it no longer even is documenting what really happened or what was really there in front of you. It's sort of like this new creation of an image that never really was there. And isn't that what photography is for us? Capturing something that's there and documenting that forever. I feel like with digital technology, photography has become something that it never was before. It's creating artwork, which is cool in a lot of ways, but creating artwork out of photographs rather than just being photographs. I feel like that's where the direction that the industry is going. And I can appreciate and I can love photographers who do a lot of digital manipulation using textures and all kinds of craziness to make images that really shine. But to me, it's not necessarily a photograph anymore. In the olden days, if you wanted something photographed a certain way, then you would make whatever was in front of you look that certain way to get it and to capture that moment. But nowadays, it's sort of like, oh, we'll just create it in Photoshop. And I just think that's just not photography anymore. It's lost its true meaning. And so I believe like shooting with film is the closest thing you can to capturing things like they really are. And yeah, sure, you can use filters, which I never do, but you can use different types of films to make your colors a little more saturated or things like that. But still, in the big picture, it's documenting an image of something in front of you that's tangible in time. In 20 years from now, you can look back at that picture and know exactly what was going on in the moment. Where a digital image that someone's manipulated the crap out of, you're going to look back and you don't even remember the moment because it's not even what it was.
Talking about the look and the feel of your photography, let's talk about what you like to capture. What's your favorite emulsion? What are you shooting with?
I shoot mostly Fuji color. I love shooting Fuji. I shoot the Pro 400 is my favorite color film, and I use that almost all the time for color. So that's like my go-to film for almost everything I shoot. I generally overexpose the crap out of it because I think it looks more gorgeous when you overexpose and really brings out the colors and makes everything sort of pop. And then for black and white, I actually shoot Kodak 400CN, which is a color process black and white film. And what I found is that I'm sort of one of those people where when I find something I like, I just stick with it. I do experiment occasionally on different films, but those are my two like favorite films that I always, always, always use. And then I also use quite a bit at weddings in lower light situations, a lot of the Fuji Neopan 1600 and 3200 black and white, which I love as well. So those are my go-to films. You asked what sort of stuff I love shooting and what I love capturing emotion-wise. I love romance. I love romantic pictures. So I love creating romantic moments for my bride and groom and capturing that romance and that passion. I love creating kind of moody and sensual photographs. And then I also love like just completely laughing. They're going to be smiling at all. They need to have like real laughs on their faces. I love that. So I love capturing emotion and moodiness and sexiness and sensuality and all those things.
What type of wedding photography are you doing? Or is it photojournalistic? Is it fine art? Is it, what would you say?
I don't necessarily put a title on it because I feel like I'm a little bit of a lot of things. I do what I call editorial style, where it's more like something you see in a magazine. I try to shoot with that type of feel. But I wouldn't call myself a true photojournalist because other than like during ceremony, during reception, cocktail hour, I am capturing things as they happen. I'm not posing shots. Usually during those moments, I never would tell my bride, hey, look over here and do this. I don't direct at all during that time. So definitely more photojournalistic during those moments. But during the time that we actually set aside for pictures and on any other shoot other than weddings, fashion shoots, portrait sessions, whatever, I am very, very, very directive. I set up my shot exactly how I want it. I tell my subjects exactly how I want their expressions, everything. I don't know. I definitely don't know what kind of label I would give myself other than I'm kind of a little mix of a lot of different things.
Do you tend to let things just sort of flow out and happen during the day, or do you like to direct when it's your specific time to shoot and everything else just sort of goes as it goes?
Yeah, I'm extremely directive. I don't leave anything up to my clients. Let's put it that way. When it's my turn to take pictures, I tell them exactly where to stand, how to stand, how to touch their partner, where to look, talk to them about fire in their eyes and all these things. So I'm very, very directive during that time, yes.
But otherwise, it's just like you said, go with the flow. Just let it roll.
when they're getting ready, when they're into their ceremony and reception, everything I capture is candid. I'm just sort of there hanging out, taking pictures. I like people to not even know I'm there.
Because you are shooting 400H mostly, and what are you shooting? A stop, stop and a half overexposed? Are you into natural light? Do you like to use your flash? Are you flashless? What do you like to do about controlling the light?
I shoot mostly at about 200 to 250 speed on my 400 film. Black and white, I keep it rated at 400. But what I love is natural light. Like, I am a natural light fanatic. I have never been into flash or studio lighting. Even if I have to use lighting, I usually like to use video lights or some sort of like mono light system rather than flash. I just do not like the look of flash whatsoever. And I love natural light. And I'm such a light fanatic that I will hunt out the best light I can find for the picture taking time. I don't care if we have the magical waterfall in the background. If the light is crappy, I'm not shooting pictures there. I would much rather have them in an empty doorway with gorgeous light than somewhere where the lighting is just not going to read well. Natural light for me is the best thing in the world.
Very cool. So let's talk about your gear. What do you like to shoot with? Medium, 35. What are you shooting with hardware-wise?
I shoot with both medium format. I shoot with the Contax 645, my favorite camera in the whole entire world. I just love that thing. And then I also shoot with Nikon F100 35mm cameras. I'm using my medium format a ton of the time. I would say at a typical wedding, I probably shoot half medium format, half film. And I have three cameras on me at all times. And then my assistant second shooter usually has one or two cameras on them as well. I definitely love 35mm for the kind of lens selection that you have. And I'm constantly changing my lenses every 2 seconds, you know, to give different looks. But I love my 35mm for that. But there's nothing like the images that come out of my Contax 645.
So what glass are you shooting with on the 645?
So I use the Zeiss 80 that comes with the Contax 645 as its sort of standard lens, which is just a super sharp, beautiful lens. It's really good in low light situations as well. So that's the only lens that I currently use for it. I have been looking into getting a more of a wide angle lens for it. I just haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I have the same rig, and it's unbelievable glass. I mean, it sets itself apart from 35. I mean, I have some great 35 stuff too, but you can't beat medium format.
You can't. And I'll shoot something on my Contax, and I'll shoot the same thing on my Nikon. And when I get my images back, you can really tell a huge difference. I mean, it's not a little difference. It's a huge difference. And a lot of people that think it doesn't make a difference with medium format, it really, really does. I tell everyone when they start shooting film, I said, bypass the 35mm, get yourself this camera and shoot. And I wish I would have done that earlier. That's the best thing that ever happened to me, is that medium format camera. Love it.
No, you can't beat that. But there's some cool stuff with 35 too, but you typically find, though, that most of your stuff is medium format.
No, not most. I would say I shoot about half and half. I do most of my color work in my Contax, unless I want something really wide angle or something, or macro that I'll use my 35mm. I do most of my black and white on my 35mm. With the Contax, it's not as good for candid stuff. It's not a real fast focusing lens, or it's not a real fast camera. So I tend to do more of my grab shots, like during cocktail hour and reception, with my 35mm.
Let's talk about your workflow after capture. You send the stuff to where and how and what?
Okay, so I get my film. I shoot gorgeous pictures. And then I send them off to the lab that I think is the best lab in the whole wide world, which is Richard's Photo Lab. And I know that they're one of your sponsors, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Brian and all those guys down there.
Oh, they're so awesome. I love them so much. I call them pudding pie. Because they make me a better photographer. And I get my images back, and I'm just, like, blown away at what they've done with them. So I get my images back. I usually do scans and proof prints of all my images. I definitely like to have the high-res film scans because I usually print everything from those. I very rarely go back to the negative. With the convenience of having the film scanned, and it's already like the colors are perfect when they get back from the lab, so I don't usually have to do much tweaking. So I very rarely find myself going back to the negative, only if I have to. But that's like never.
When you have Bill and Brian and the guys at Richard Photo Lab scan your stuff, do you have them use a specific scanner? Do you have specific settings you have them do? Or is it just like you've never told them, you just send them your goods and it comes back?
I know that they have my preferences dialed down to a science. I don't know what that science is. I've never really asked them. And in the beginning, when I first started sending them my work, I know what I like my work to look like. And so it was a learning process of them knowing what I wanted my work to look like. And so I sent them some little test batches, and they would send things back. And it took maybe one or two back and forth of me saying, well, I'd like it a little more poppier. I'd like it a little more colorful before they really kind of dialed it into what my preferences were. So I think there's sort of this learning curve that needs to happen when you start with any new lab. And if they're like Richard's Photo Lab and really value that personal attention and one-on-one relationship, then they'll take the time to really work with you on developing a sense of what it is that you want your work to look like. And so then at the end of the day, they have your settings all dialed in. I'm sure it changes with different types of film and things like that that I send them. But at the end of the day, they sort of know what I want. And if I ever get a batch that I'm not happy with, which is very, very, very rare, I can always count on them to redo it and make it better for me. So they're just a really awesome, awesome lab.
So once you get the stuff back, you have your scans back, what do you do with the negs, and then how do you process the digital? Do you do any post-production, or is it pretty much just sort and give it away? What do you do?
So what I do is I file my negs just in my client files, and then eventually I'll give the client the negatives if they request them and they want them, because I get bombarded with so much storage space. But what I do is I actually have a whole post-production process that I do. I probably go a little overboard. I look through all the prints, and I make deletes from my prints that I get from them. Then I put them in order of the events, and then I hand my stack of prints to my assistant, and she goes through and makes sure all that the digital files match the prints, like in order, and anything that's deleted in the prints gets deleted off the digital file. And then what we do is we kind of name everything and save it to hard drives. We burn a disk, so we have that as well. And I also go through at that time, after she's done putting everything in order, I kind of go through and I just look at every single picture and make sure if there are any tweaks that I want to make, I do that then. So when my client sees their images, they're exactly how I want them to look and how I want them to see them. So I do spend quite a bit of time. Usually it takes me maybe an hour to go through and make any edits that I want to do, which I think is pretty minimal amount of time to spend doing the edits. And then I might spend another hour going through and just looking at all my images, if it needs a little more contrast or if it needs just a zit taken out on the bride's cheek or something. That's probably another hour to two for a wedding. Once we're done with that process, then I upload everything to an online gallery and they can order products from it.
Well, that's very cool. Now, when someone books a package with you, is it like, okay, I'm going to get Tanya to come shoot my gig, I'm going to get some proofs, and do you give the digital files to them? Do you sell the packages with albums? How do you do the rest of your package stuff besides having you go shoot their event?
I keep things pretty simple. I used to have a lot more packages and options, and I've sort of over the years whittled it down to make my life easier. I have two packages. One is just coverage-only package, where I go, I shoot their event, I take as many pictures as I can while I'm there, and then I upload everything. I do my post-production process, and then I upload everything to the internet, and they can order products a la carte after that. Or I have a package that just includes an album and a high-res disc of their images. And those are the only two packages I really offer. Anything else they want, they can order separately. At the end of the day, I charge for my high-res discs. I never throw them in. So my package that actually is included, I charge $1,000 extra for the buyout of the images.
No, that's not bad, though.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I guess if someone wants to build their own book or whatever.
Most of my brides at the end of the day want their image CD because they just want to keep their images forever, and they want some way of doing that other than their prints, because a lot of times they like to give their prints as gifts or whatever.
Do you find that they want the negatives and the high-res discs, or sometimes they'll want just the high-res disc and not ask for the negatives back, or do they get the negatives anyway?
It just depends on the bride and groom, I think. Most people are really happy just with their high-res disc. I think the ones who really value the fact that I'm shooting film want the negatives as well. And I always sort of tell them that if it were me, I would want my negatives, and I go through the whole spiel about, to me, digital is like air. You can't see it. It's just like, what is it? You know what I mean? And so I always tell them that if it were me personally, how I feel about film, how I feel about digital, I would definitely want to own my negatives, because at some point in time, 80 years down the road, you don't know if that digital file is still going to appear on your CD when you pop it in, or on your hard drive when you go to pull it up. But you will have those negatives forever, and you can even make prints on them after a very long time. So for me, when I get started talking about that with them, and if they're showing at all that they might not care to have the negatives, I always tell them, well, if I were you, I would want them. If it were my wedding, I'd definitely want the negatives. So most of my brides and grooms end up getting them about 2 years after their wedding. They'll call, and I'll release them to them. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What have you seen with what's going on in the current economic condition? Has it affected the bookings of your weddings? Is it people still trudging along? Your price point is at a point where it's not really bothering people too much. What have you seen with the current economic conditions in your actual business?
So it's funny because I have a studio where there's myself, and then I also have two other wedding photographers that work with me. And it's funny because my price points are way higher than theirs. And what I've found is that I feel like in my price point, the wedding bookings are still really strong. And I have my own theories on this. So my bookings are still really strong. And I've got the same amount of bookings on the calendar now that I had last year about this time. So I expect I'll probably end up with about the same amount as I did the last couple years in a row, which is about 40 usually. But what I found is in the lower price packages, I feel like those gals aren't booking as much as fast as they have in the past couple of years. And I really believe that's because there's so much more competition in those price points that at a certain point in time, people are just price shopping. Well, if I have this sea of photographers who are in this medium price range and all their work, it's all very good, or it just all sort of starts to look the same after a while in that price point. I think brides who are really budget conscious in this economy are more trying to see what the best deal they can get. Whereas I feel like in my price point, which is a little bit higher than that, it's like the people who are still spending that amount of money on a photographer are doing it because they just love photography and they wouldn't sacrifice their budget on photography if it meant they weren't going to get the pictures that they wanted. So I feel like the brides that hire me do so because they love photography, they love my work, and it's just that important to them that they're just willing to spend it. They may cut it out of their budget somewhere else, or maybe they have it in their budget. But for whatever reason, I feel like the economy has not affected me so much. However, I have seen it in the industry, and I have seen it amongst my photographer friends.
Very interesting. Well, I mean, that's good, though. If you're in the price section, that shouldn't be affected that much. And I guess it depends on the part of the Bay Area that you're in. I think you're in an area that's maybe a little more financially stable.
Yeah, even the town we live in is a very affluent town. It's one of the more expensive areas to live in. Housing hasn't really dropped that much in our area. It has dropped, but it hasn't dropped nearly as much as it has in areas just outside of where I live. I think one of the ways that it has affected me is I think people are slower to book, and they're slower to actually make that decision, and they go out and they interview with more photographers than they might have before. So I think that has been an effect. But when it comes to the actual booking of it, they always come back. They go out, they interview everyone else. They try to find something for a cheaper price with the same quality, and they can't, so then they come back.
Let's talk about how this has been working out with yourself having some associate photographers in the studio with you, and how has that worked out with what you're doing? Are they shooting digital? And how's that working?
Well, it's sort of a new venture. We've been doing it since this summer, so not quite a year yet. Beginning of last summer, we sort of decided to move in this direction. It's not necessarily like I don't have associate photographers that work underneath me or anything like that. What it is I've reached out to a few of my photographer friends who already had viable photography businesses. And we've sort of created a co-op under the umbrella of Tanya Lippert Photographers. For me, it was more or less like my business was growing at a pace where I just needed help. I needed someone to give my referrals to. I don't have as much time now to shoot a lot of family stuff or babies. And I needed other photographers who I could sort of give some of my clients to. And I also wanted to hire a full-time studio manager that could help, because I am such an unorganized, crazy artist at heart. I don't file things. My computer's a wreck. The filing system makes no sense. I'm some of those unorganized chaos. I know where everything is, but no one else could ever find it. So I wanted to hire a studio manager that could really help get my turnaround time on all my products faster. and just help organize things and sort of take over some of the day-to-day operational stuff that I just couldn't keep up with. But at the same time, I wanted help in funding all these wonderful things I wanted for my business. So we moved in about 6 months ago into a really great storefront retail type of business space right in downtown Los Gatos. So it's kind of like a boutique gallery that we've got here. For me, I couldn't do all that on my own. I don't know. I just didn't want to do it all on my own. So bringing on other photographers as more of like a kind of a co-op situation made a lot of sense to me, because the other gals who I brought on are also women who they didn't want to do those parts of their business necessarily so much either. They love the photography part and they love creating the images, but they didn't want to have to keep up with like a gazillion emails and sending out pricing, all the phone calls that come in for little questions and things like that. And so it's great because we can sort of utilize the studio manager. They meet their clients in our gallery space as well. And so it's just kind of nice to have some of their income stream coming in to help support everyone.
I think it's a great model.
Yeah, it's a good business model. Well, we'll see how it all goes. We're still figuring out what works best and what doesn't work, but we're getting a lot closer to it. We moved our gallery 6 months ago, so we brought on a studio manager about 9 months ago. So we're still sort of working towards getting everything to run like a smooth-oiled machine. Because my poor business just had me running it for the past 8 years. Not always perfectly organized.
One thing I want to touch off on here before we go, Tanya, is your new blog, keepfilmalive.org. Tell me about that and how that all came about.
So what sparked the blog, I got really freaked out one day because I've had this one local camera store that I absolutely love. They're called Camera Corner in San Jose. And they cater to a lot of the college kids, and they carry a ton of film, and they carry a ton of film equipment still, and they carry a lot of used equipment. So I buy a lot of my cameras there and stuff. And so I had been buying my film there for the past 5 years, and they would always stock it for me and have it in bulk, and super great people. So I went in January to go pick up some film for an event, and the owner comes out, sad face, looking down, and he's like, "I've got some bad news for you, Tanya. We're going to not carry film anymore." And I went, "What?" Because I was sort of shocked, because they were really big on film and film equipment. He says, "Well, we're losing money on it. We're not making a profit on it." He said, "It's costing us more to carry it than we're making a profit on." So they were clearing out their whole film section to make room for new, like, digital stuff. And so it freaked me out. I got a little bit scared because I thought, well, if people stop buying it and the camera stores stop selling it, then it's going to go away at some point in time. And it really freaked me out. And so I thought, I need to do whatever I can do to help ensure that that doesn't happen, because I almost love film so much that I feel like if it ever does disappear, then I just will have to like do something else for a living. I don't think I would feel good about, I'd be kicking and screaming. So that freaked me out a little bit. And I thought, I need to do something that can sort of build some buzz about film and get people inspired enough to start shooting with it again, so that the supply and the demand thing. If there's no demand, they're going to stop making the supply. So that was reasoning for making it. And basically, I want it to be a place where photographers, both film and digital, can go to gain information about film and to gain inspiration and hopefully learn some things and then pick up their cameras and start shooting it again.
No, I think people need to learn about film, and even these photography schools like Brooks and so forth, they don't even teach film anymore. It's all digital.
See, I didn't know that, but that makes me very sad. That makes my heart sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but it's the truth. I mean, Brooks anymore is all digital, no analog.
Wow. Well, see, that's one of the reasons why I started that blog, is because I just don't want to see it go away. So it's my little cry for film. Keep it alive, people.
No, but it's cool. So, I mean, you're going to be putting some interviews up there, some content about education about film.
Yes, exactly. And I am the worst at updating blogs. And so I'm probably like the worst one that could have done it. I really need to put someone in charge of moderating it and like keeping it posted current, because I really want it to be something that people can go back to on a daily or weekly basis and get more information on. So hopefully here really soon I can find someone who loves to blog and is a good writer and will want to help me with that.
It's a good thought, and it's cool to see that you're trying to help the whole film community.
So I just want people to stand up for film and people who love film, because I know there's a ton of digital shooters out there who still love film so much. they don't even understand why they don't shoot as much of it anymore. And I just don't want it to become like a lost art. I don't want to be a dinosaur. I would love to see the pendulum swing the other way and film to come back. People are using both for different reasons. I don't think it should be an all or nothing. I think it should just be a personal choice and a personal preference. I do think that now the kids that are just learning digital, they're really missing out. And they're missing out on the potential that they could have with shooting film. I think I'm a much better photographer because I've shot film, and I have to learn, and I have to become really reliant on myself rather than my camera and your instinct and all of that good stuff. I do a lot of mentoring now, and I love mentoring, and I've got a ton of, I call them kids, but not all of them are really kids, but that I mentor to, and I've made sort of a commitment to, because I get a lot of people saying, oh, will you help me, or will you do this? And I say, if you shoot film, I will help you with whatever you want. You start shooting film and we're so on. It's not even funny. But I don't feel like I can mentor someone who's not interested in film, because that's what I know and what I love and what I'm so passionate about. So yeah, so it's been good for me to see people who are really excited about trying film who've never shot it even.
No, I mean, that's great that you're giving away knowledge and you're helping people that show an interest in film. This is cool.
Well, I feel like the mentoring part, I have a ton of blessings in my life. Any way that I can give back to help other people, to me, I feel more successful when I do that rather than like getting paid. To me, the success that I feel in my life comes from helping people, making them happy, helping them learn something. The feedback that I get, like, oh my gosh, that one little thing you taught me changed my photography. And so that to me is such a great feeling. My husband always says, I don't know if you're going to keep having time to do all this mentoring, because I'll have photographers call me at like midnight. I have a photo shoot tomorrow. What do you think I should do about this? Or what should I do about that? And my husband's like, Tanya, I don't know how long you're going to be able to do this because my schedule is crazy as it is. And I say, you know what, though? This is the most important part to me, and I can't give it up. I won't give up helping people just because I don't feel like I have time to. So I will make the time to help other people. That's just a priority for me.
Yeah, this is so cool. So, Tanya, tell me, where do we find out more information about your beautiful photography, your blog, Keep Film Alive? Where's all this stuff located?
Okay, so you can go to www.TanyaLippertPhotography.com is my basic website, Tanya with a J. So it's TanjaLippert photography.com. My blog is TanyaLippertPhotography.blogspot.com. And then my Keep Film Alive site is KeepFilmAlive.org. Our group website is TanyaLippertPhotographers.com.
Very cool. This is great stuff, and I do appreciate you taking time to talk with us here on Inside Analog Photo, and just to see that you have a passion for analog photography and true film capture and all this great work you're doing. This is really cool.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate your program. It's programs like yours that I know I would love to have something on our blog about your program and about you. So I could do an interview with you. How about that?
There you go. Cool. Tanya, thank you so much. Yeah, it's great. Thank you. Well, there you go. Tanya Lippert. What an inspiration. If that doesn't make you want to go pick up a roll of film and start shooting, I don't know what would. Great stuff going on with Tanya. Definitely check out her beautiful work. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful at FujifilmUSA.com/professional, Richard Photo Lab at RichardPhotoLab.com, DR5 at DR5.com, Upstrap at Upstrap-Pro.com, and our media partners of APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog. I've been your host, Scott Shepherd, and we'll be back next week with more great analog photography.